Hopefully I'm good to go. Awesome. So this is called the numbers game. I'm going to start with the numbers game. Patty's already given me that sort of confused look, which is exactly what I'm after from people. Right, I'm going to give you 90 seconds, and you've got to go from 1 to 54 in sequence. You've got to find all of the numbers in sequence. And let me just pull up my timer. Okay, ready? 90 seconds, 1 to 54. Go. That's 30. Must be almost done. Oh, you're brilliant. You're smart. Sixty. 30 seconds to go. Fifteen seconds. 90 seconds feels like forever. 'd you get up to? Who wants to throw out a number? Nine. Sorry? 34? 34. You got it? You did it? Fantastic. Young man over here, and after about 20 seconds have done it. Caleb? 15? Cool. 19. All right. Yes. You got them all? Excellent. So a few of them got it all. 24? Good. Excellent. All right. Let's try this again. Now, let me show you something. You might not be able to see it that clearly from the screen. There is an order to the way these numbers are set out on the page. There is a grid. And if you follow that grid, you'll find that all the numbers in that grid of nine will follow that sequence. So the first number is in that first block. Number two is in the next, number three is in the next block, and so on. So there's a sequence to this. You can put the grid on your own piece of paper if you want, if that would make it easier, because we're going to give you another 90 seconds and see if you can get 1 to 54. Now that you know that there is a grid and a sequence and an order to this, if you've already done 54, it'll be easy as, and if you've been circling them, it might even be easier. All right, ready? And go. Put your hand up if you've done it when you do it. 30 seconds. You done it? Hand up then. Thank you. Oh, good boy, you've done it. Cool. Another one. Yeah, so much easier. Done it. Excellent. Another one done it. Yep. Cool. Some more. Yep. Hands are going up like trees in a forest. Weeds in my garden. Twenty seconds. Yep. Awesome. Well done. Excellent. Ten seconds to go. Yep. Hands are going up. Fantastic. More hands. Fantastic. and you can stop. Who found that easier? Right. So when it looks completely random, it's really hard to work out, isn't it? But when you see there's a pattern, that there's, you can make sense of it, then it becomes easier. Doesn't make it simple necessarily, you still got to work at it, but it makes it easier. So we want to talk a little bit about a secret that will make some things easier in life. And that helps us to be gritty Christians. Is that good so far, Mike? Oh, I just made that up on the spot. So, some questions I want to ask you. And it's a tour of true or false. So, all we have to do is put your hand up if it's, and when I say true, hand up if I say false. So, question one, is intelligence something that you were born with and can't be changed? Who thinks that's a true statement? So it's a false statement, would that be right? Intelligence is something that you are not born with and can be changed. Is that what you think? Okay, cool. Oh, sorry. Back one. Can you always work to be smarter? Yes. Yes. Can musical talent be learned by anyone? So there's a no in this corner. Are there any no's? Can I make that? Is there a no in this room? Some no's? Yep. Yeah, okay. And others who think it's true? I heard a lot of confidence, but fewer hands have gone up than there are actually people in the room. So there's less confidence than I think. Okay, cool. Is maths easier for boys than girls? Hands up, yes. None of the guys have put their hands up, even if they secretly believe it. The downside of that is I'm not so good at maths, so it works against me. Anyway. And finally, truly smart people do not need to try hard. True or false? I think it's true. I'm smart and I don't need to try very hard. I don't try hard at all. And look how well I do. What's wrong? Are you saying that I could be amazing if I tried harder? Yeah, well, that might be true too. All right. Okay. That's good. So we've moved in a healthy direction, I think. I can't remember what's next. That's next. Okay. Right, let's watch this. It's a little clip that hopefully will lead us into the next part. Will that just go play? Oh, yeah, he's too busy on it. Can you take your phone off, Tobias? Yeah, there we go.
When I was 27 years old, I left a very demanding job in management consulting for a job that was even more demanding, teaching. I went to teach seventh graders math in the New York City public schools. And like any teacher, I made quizzes and tests, I gave out homework assignments. When the work came back, I calculated grades. What struck me was that IQ was not the only difference between my best and my worst students. Some of my strongest performers did not have stratospheric IQ scores. Some of my smartest kids weren't doing so well. And that got me thinking. The kinds of things you need to learn in seventh grade math, sure, they're hard. Ratios, decimals, the area of a parallelogram. But these concepts are not impossible. And I was firmly convinced that every one of my students could learn the material if they worked hard and long enough. After several more years of teaching, I came to the conclusion that what we need in education is a much better understanding of students and learning from a motivational perspective, from a psychological perspective. In education, the one thing we know how to measure best is IQ. But what if doing well in school and in life depends on much more than your ability to learn quickly and easily? So I left the classroom and I went to graduate school to become a psychologist. I started studying kids and adults in all kinds of super challenging settings. And in every study, my question was, who is successful here and why? My research team and I went to West Point Military Academy. We tried to predict which cadets would stay in military training and which would drop out. We went to the National Spelling Bee and tried to predict which children would advance farthest in competition. We studied rookie teachers working in really tough neighborhoods, asking which teachers are still going to be here in teaching by the end of the school year. And of those, who will be the most effective at improving learning outcomes for their students? We partnered with private companies, asking which of these salespeople is going to keep their jobs and who's going to earn the most money. In all those very different contexts, one characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success. And it wasn't social intelligence, it wasn't good looks, physical health, and it wasn't IQ. It was grit. Grit is passion and perseverance for very long-term goals. Grit is having stamina. Grit is sticking with your future, day in, day out, not just for the week, not just for the month, but for years, and working really hard to make that future a reality. Grit is living life like it's a marathon, not a sprint. A few years ago, I started studying grit in the Chicago public schools. I asked thousands of high school juniors to take grit questionnaires, and then waited around more than a year to see who would graduate. Turns out that grittier kids were significantly more likely to graduate, even when I matched them on every characteristic I could measure, things like family income, standardized achievement test scores, even how safe kids felt when they were at school. So it's not just at West Point or the National Spelling Bee that grit matters, it's also in school, especially for kids at risk for dropping out. To me, the most shocking thing about grit is how little we know, how little science knows about building it. Every day, parents and teachers ask me, how do I build grit in kids? What do I do to teach kids a solid work ethic? How do I keep them motivated for the long run? The honest answer is, I don't know. What I do know is that talent doesn't make you gritty. Our data show very clearly that there are many talented individuals who simply do not follow through on their commitments. In fact, in our data, grit is usually unrelated or even inversely related to measures of talent. So far, the best idea I've heard about building grit in kids is something called growth mindset. This is an idea developed at Stanford University by Carol Dweck, and it is the belief that the ability to learn is not fixed, that it can change with your effort. Dr. Dweck has shown that when kids read and learn about the brain and how it changes and grows in response to challenge, they're much more likely to persevere when they fail because they don't believe that failure is a permanent condition. So growth mindset is a great idea for building grit, but we need more. And that's where I'm going to end my remarks, because that's where we are. That's the work that stands before us. We need to take our best ideas, our strongest intuitions, and we need to test them. We need to measure whether we've been successful, and we have to be willing to fail, to be wrong, to start over again with lessons learned. In other words, we need to be gritty about getting our kids grittier. Thank you.
Hello. Kia ora. So that clip we just watched, for me as a teacher, is really exciting, but it's also a little bit frustrating because we now know that grit is really important, but we don't know how to measure it, we don't know how to test for it, and we really don't know how to teach it, apart from, as she said, the work by Dr. Carol Dweck into growth mindsets. So a couple of years ago, when Dr. Carol Dweck came to New Zealand, I made sure I was in the front row. And got to work with her a little bit, which was really great. Now, I noticed at the start when Philip put up that first question, we all agreed that you can make yourself smarter. The thing is, we've only had the science to back that up for a few years. And that's where this whole idea of growth mindsets came from. Science has now proven that our brains are much more malleable than we once thought, and that with practice we can grow our brains and make them stronger and make connections between the neurons. This was first seen in an American man who had a motorcycle accident and actually physically lost a little part of his brain and was able to grow it back to a normal full-sized brain, and that really surprised scientists. And so then those same scientists got some rats, and they got two lots of rats, and they gave one set of rats a really cushy life. I don't know how that looks for rats. Did they have TV and PlayStation and couches? And the other rats were given challenges and other rats to interact with. And I'd like to say that no rats were harmed in the making of this experiment, but after a few weeks, they actually looked at the rats' brains, and they found the ones that had the rats had a challenging life, their brains were bigger and denser than the other rats. So that just went to prove this fact that we can make ourselves smarter. So as a teacher, that's awesome news. Not only can I help my kids learn content, but I can help them become smarter. As a human, that's also great news because I can make myself smarter. There's always hope. Although I think it'd be pretty hard to get smarter than I am now. Hey, Deborah, you agree with that? Yeah. But there is a catch. There is some bad news here. I'm sorry, but the way that we develop a growth mindset, the way that we make our brain smarter is by failure and by making sure we fail well. So when we work with the kids at school, we talk about the power of yet. I can't do it yet. And we learn lots of stories about, lots of stories of famous people who have failed. Michael Jordan famously got dropped from his high school basketball team and came back, and we learn lots about that. We also put up, point this way, Philip. Back. All right. We also use posters like this one here, where we look at skills as something you're not born with, but they come from hard work. Challenges as something, rather than being avoided, something to be embraced. Effort is really important. Feedback is useful, and we don't need to get defensive about it. And that setbacks, we don't blame others or we don't give up, we don't get discouraged, but we use it as a wake-up call, something to push through. So we encourage a growth mindset at our school by playing lots of games, games where the students are hopefully going to fail initially, and with a bit of hard work, they'll get there. Things like juggling. In my personal life, I can think of golf has been a massive thing for growth mindset. I spend more time in the trees than the birds, but I'm working on it. And I just thought I'd play a quick game with you guys now. Who got that the first time? Anybody? Well done. Okay. That game is also great for getting both sides of your brain working at the same time. So when thinking about growth mindsets, I have often pondered how this relates to my Christian life. We now know that like a muscle, our brain can become stronger. So I've wondered, do we have a Christian muscle that can be made stronger? And if so, how do we make it stronger? And how important is grit in a Christian walk? I don't have the answers, but luckily Philip does.
Hand back to you guys and ask you, what do you know from Scripture that would underpin this idea? What stories are in Scripture that tell us that if we persevere, we grow stronger? What scriptures come to mind? And you don't have to perfectly quote it, and you are allowed to get it wrong. It just will make you stronger. So, you wise Christians of many years, throw some out to me. Mark. He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, put your hand to the plow, keep going forward, keep pressing in. The prodigal son, who failed miserably and yet came back and didn't let failure defeat him. Nice, good interpretation. The story of Jacob, yes. And what particularly about that story? Yeah. Yeah. He was one of those people who didn't want to lose, did he? He always found a way to try and get one over someone else. And it didn't end well for him, did it? Until eventually he met God in a big battle at the Ford of Jabbok and won when he lost to God. His greatest success was when he lost to God. Peter? My father or some other guy? Yes? Great. He's denied Jesus. And what did that do for him? What could he have done and what did he do instead? Could have given up. Yep. Came back and was restored. Anything else? Yes. Yes. Yeah, so Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers, who ended up in prison in Egypt, and yet didn't give in and took his opportunities when they came and held on through those very hard times. Great. The Apostle Paul? Oh, he's that, yeah. The list of his hardships, his list of, here's how amazing I am as an apostle. Here's, I've been shipwrecked, I've been beaten, I was sown to death not once but twice. All of these things, that have terrible things that have done to him, you think, well, get another job. But he persevered. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, great. Yeah, the chapter in Hebrews 11, the champions of faith. And if you remember, just tying that to the clip that we've just seen, she mentioned that grittiness, perseverance, is having long-term goals that you really believe in, that you hang on for and build into. And there's nothing longer term than the goal beyond our own immediate life, which, of course, as you said, Ming, are what these heroes of faith all did. They believed in a city they had not yet seen and would not see until the end. And they hung on, and that was the defining characteristic of them. Fantastic. Yes, Kathy? How comes you? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Fantastic. Yeah. So, of course, the founder of our faith, Jesus, of course, Garden of Gethsemane, who did not want to go to the cross. You'd be insane to want to go to the cross and process that incredible horror that was about to face him and went to it. And what's that famous line? For the joy set before him, he suffered or endured the cross. Great. Shirley. Are you going to say Jesus? Yeah. Any other stories of Jesus? His whole life. Yeah, yeah. Or and the great hymn of Philippians 2, he had everything, and yet he humbled himself, came to earth. I mean, his journey was from glory to damnation. Why did he do that? Because he knew that his life lived that way would lead to great freedom for many. Yep, is it Elise? Was your hand up? Yep. Jonah. Yes, good. Yes, he did fail, didn't he? He, unlike most other prophets, he ran from his calling and tried to escape. And God brought him back. Thank you. Yep. Yeah, Nehemiah and the rebuilding. What a hard, hard task that must have been. And he kept at it and had to keep them at it too, didn't he? Noah, yes. Yep, hanging in there. It must have been terrible to be the few people left on earth. Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine what it must have felt like walking around those walls of Jericho thinking, is this just a prank? Does God have a sense of humor? Is this not going to work? But it did, right? Imagine if they stopped at 6 days and said, well, forget it. You know, let's be done with this. All right, so there's lots of stories. Does anyone think of Paul when he said almost exactly her words, life is not a sprint, it's a marathon? They're precisely the terms that Paul uses to describe our faith journey. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, and we're supposed to what? Press on. And letting go of things that hinder us, right? And again, she was talking about that a lot. She said that those who have a long-term goal, they work hard as they can to stay focused on that goal and pursue that goal. Now, as a Christian and as a pastor, I can see how important that element, that grittiness is in the life of Christians. And maybe you've met those kinds of people too who you thought, you've had a hard life, but gosh, you're an amazing person. There's something just so incredibly beautiful about you. It defies easy understanding. And sometimes, though, you find people who've had a hard life, or even perhaps not even as hard, and you think, you're actually a little bit unpleasant. You have a chip on your shoulder. You know, you feel like you've been hard done by because life wasn't as easy as you'd wanted it to be. So, if I can ask David to help me with a wee project, a handyman's project, which is going to be our final thing. We're going to talk about the secret ingredient. I hope that actually it was those two slides, a bit of a thing. But if you kids want to watch this, have you ever walked on pavement, on a footpath, and wondered, what is that stuff made of? It's quite hard, isn't it? Do you know what it's called? Does anyone know what it's called? Elise? Concrete. Exactly. Does anyone know what's in concrete? Do you need a hand here? Do you need some? Joel's young and strong, but he's got very nice shoes. Does anyone know what's in concrete? You guys can come up. There's seats here. Anyone? Anyone have an idea what's in concrete? Yeah. Lime, sand, and building mix. What's building mix? Is it builders ground up? No, gravel. Okay. Gravel. And sand. Have you touched sand? Who's been to the beach? How hard is sand? Oh, so it's not hard, it's soft, is it? It's gritty. Yeah. So sand is quite soft. How does sand become something so hard that if you fell down onto pavement, you actually scrape your knees quite badly, don't you? I used to stub my toes when I was a child. Anyone stub their toe? Oh, it hurts, doesn't it? Your left foot bled. Oh, you've got a sore now. Wow. Yeah? Oof. Well, there's sand in here, and there's some gravel, and there's some lime in there, and now there's some water. Are any of these things hard substances? Is sand hard? No. Is water hard? Now, gravel can be rough, but is it hard? Is it easy to get your hands into it? It can be rough, but is gravel hard? Can you pick gravel up in your hands? And you know, gravel's like lots of little stones, isn't it? So you can pick it up and you can play with it. But all of these things together somehow become something so hard that if you fell down on it, you'd really hurt yourself. And you know what? David is a builder, and he's been doing this for so long. His muscles are so hard, and we're helping him. We're helping him become hard by giving him this job. I could do it, but I'm already young and strong. And it would be, I would be showing off. So you know what? There's a secret ingredient in here. What's that? Energy. Yeah. And the secret ingredient is getting someone else to do the hard work. No, that's not the message of grittiness. The secret ingredient that turns soft sand, soft water, soft lime is just a powder, and soft gravel into something really, really hard. And it's a substance they call cement. It's a secret ingredient that's in there that if when he mixes this up and finishes it off, if we put it somewhere and let it and just leave it alone, it will get harder and harder and harder until it's so hard we call it concrete and you'll be able to walk on it and do all sorts of crazy things with it. And the story that we're trying to tell is that there's a secret ingredient in our lives. Now, all our lives are made up of very similar ingredients, right? We have friends and we have family. We all go to school and we learn how to study, and sometimes we play sports, and some of these things we're good at. Sometimes you're good at sport and sometimes you don't feel like you are good. Sometimes you do well at maths and sometimes you don't. Some people seem to be really good at English and others aren't. And yet it seems like we can actually become good at almost anything with the right attitude. Now, the Christian life's a little bit different. You know, I don't know if you were listening to the video particularly closely, but they said they know that grittiness is a secret ingredient. They just don't know where it comes from. And they know that it's important, but they don't know where it comes from, which is really challenging for us to learn. But in a Christian context, we know that we can become strong not by our own effort, not just if we're really good at something, though that is important. It's if we trust God, even when things don't go our way. Even if we find out that we're not very good at something, if we trust God, even a hard thing like that can actually make us better and make us stronger. So what we're going to do is we're going to put some of the cement into these ice cream things, and I want you to poke holes in it with your finger. Yeah. Yeah, put that over the bucket, and he'll... Yep. Go. Oh. All right. Can you make that kind of give it a shake and a shimmer? Yeah, it's heavy stuff. You'll have to hold it with a hand underneath it at least. Put your hand underneath. Yeah. Yeah. I have a bucket of water so that we can wash it off in a minute. Oh, you've done well. You've done well. There's a little bit more. Well, that's a dirty one. I didn't clean these. Oh, look, that's got blue in the bottom. How much more is there? Hey, you want to grab one? You'll have to come right under over the bucket over here and hold it nice and... That's it. If you're lucky, you're strong. That's it. Now, don't worry if you get concrete on you. You'll be able to wash it off in a second. Now, let everyone have a go poking their fingers into it. So just do one, and then we'll put everyone will have a fingerprint in it. Just one. How many is one? That's two. All right. So hand it around and let someone else put an imprint in there, and then you can wash your hands in this big bucket here.
Fingerprint. Do it.
You don't have to, but if you want to, you can. Yeah, Ben. Okay, Ben. Awesome. All right, you can wash your hand off if you like. Yeah, you can make a handprint if you wanted to. Yeah, you wash your finger. There's a bucket there. Well, that's a good handprint. Excellent. So while those kids are finishing off, excuse me. If I can have a hand bringing the communion table around, and we will move into communion. Jesus, before he died, he spoke to his disciples This is in John, and he said, in this life, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. Now, I'm sure you will have good times as well. He didn't say that bit, but he said, in this life, you will have trouble. It's not going to be easy. And it doesn't matter, of course, whether you are a Christian or not. Life is struggle at times. And he said, but take heart, for I have overcome. There is an important difference between merely a growth mindset, though that's important, but also to bring our faith into it. And to, with the attitude, no matter how bad things are right now, no matter how much this is hurting, no matter how hard this is, either to stay a Christian under hardship, or when we're suffering, to want to accuse God, to yell and scream at him, though sometimes it can feel therapeutic. But in our hard times, to trust that even those moments God can bring together and create something stronger in us. That can make such a difference to how we face those trials, how we walk through those trials, and how we are when we come out of those trials, whether we become bitter or better. It makes a huge difference around our attitude and how we face them. One of the texts that I like and have had carved onto my heart, it's in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So far, so good. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, otherwise known as grit. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So, as we come to Christ's table, remembering that he suffered and died for us, and in our place, and for our sake, and so that we can know that no matter how bad it gets, there is resurrection. There is hope. God has not forgotten us. And the cross is proof of his great love that he will save us. So I'd invite you forward this morning to reflect on your own journey and where you think Christ has been in your hard times, where he might be right now in your hardships, and to remember his death as an encouragement in our life. Lord, we thank you for your great witness to us, and we thank you, great God and Father, who has been overseeing all of history to teach us, to bring us back to you, and that you have gone through every suffering to do that, and that you can now turn suffering and hardship to our favor as well, that even things that we struggle through and suffer from can be used to build strength in us through the outpouring of your Spirit into our hearts. Lord, help us to trust you no matter what and be those gritty Christians we all desire to be. Amen. Please come forward.